From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Twitter's been getting a bad rap lately. Can it shake its reputation as a minefield for harassment? The latest coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And Twitter's seeing some rough waters as of late. It seems to be grappling with a harassment problem. However, it's aiming to find a balance between free speech and its users' safety. Let's talk the current state of affairs with WSJD's Nathan Oliwatis-Giles, who joins us on the line right now. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So it's an interesting state of affairs right now on social media. Twitter in particular, just recently, you know, we've had issues with Gabby Douglas. Campaign trail is seeing a lot of noise. Most recently, Leslie Jones seems to have been the latest target. Can we start there? Can you give us a little backstory on those recent happenings?
Yeah. You know, in every case, what we've seen is a high-profile celebrity, often a woman and a person of color, just being really kind of brutally harassed on Twitter by dozens, if not hundreds of users. And a lot of the stuff that's being thrown at them is frankly offensive. It's racist and oftentimes sexist. In particular with Miss Jones, she saw tweets where people were comparing her to apes and things like that. So it was really, really bad. With Miss Jones, she was, you know, she's a comedian. She was in the new Ghostbusters movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of it started with a conservative blogger named Milo Yiannopoulos, who writes for a website called Breitbart. And he started just kind of saying she's barely literate. She's not good in the film. He gave her a critique of the film. And things kind of escalated from there. And then lots of other people joined in. And that's when things got really, really ugly.
What was Twitter's response then? Because this seems like one of the times in which they have taken a stand.
Yeah, Twitter actually, in this situation, it was really interesting. Leslie Jones was retweeting the harassing tweets she got. She was calling people out on it. And then she actually left the service temporarily for about a day. Twitter's CEO, Jack Dorsey, reached out to her, and they spoke. And then shortly thereafter, Mr. Yiannopoulos was banned for life from Twitter, which is an unprecedented.
I was going to say that must be a first.
Yeah. Well, it's not the first person to be banned, but the first person to be banned of this high profile.
Right. I mean, exactly.
He was a very popular voice. And he has a following, and a lot of people really like to read him on Twitter and on the internet and get his viewpoint, as divisive as it may be. And so it was a big deal when he got kicked off the service.
And it's interesting, though, because then it raises the question of, well, can Twitter just ban people? I imagine it can get a little fuzzy in terms of maybe some blurred lines and some, you know, just it can be subjective.
Yeah, that's part of the tough thing that's happening here is Twitter does have a terms of service. Twitter does say that you can't harass people in their policies. But while they do ban harassment and hateful conduct, they don't actually ban hate speech itself. And there's a lot of questions over what counts as hate speech, what counts as defamation, what actually counts as trolling and abusing someone else. And those lines aren't always totally clear.
So aside from that, since, you know, you can only do so much, how else are they aiming to improve things or at least be proactive in preventing these types of attacks?
Yeah, well, over the last year, Twitter has really stepped things up, and it does really seem like they're trying a lot harder. I spoke with a number of experts on social media and folks who study this sort of thing, and everyone pretty much agreed that they're doing more than ever before, but it's really a tough problem. One of the big things that they did this year was create what's called a Trust and Safety Council of outside advisors, and they have a couple dozen companies and nonprofits and security experts who look over what they're doing and give them feedback on a regular basis. And every time that they introduce a new feature or tool to address privacy issues or harassment issues or any of these sorts of things, these folks give them feedback and say, okay, this looks good, but have you thought about how this might affect, you know, young people or how it might affect women or how it might affect, you know, all these different communities? So that's a big part. And then recently, they actually instituted what's called a quality filter, which will limit the responses users can see on Twitter and better filter their notifications as well.
Okay. And other social media networks, what are they doing to keep tabs on the issue? I imagine this is something that's just spanned across, you know, all platforms.
Yeah, it really shows up everywhere. Twitter really gets the majority of the focus for it and kind of the blame for not doing, most, mm-hmm. which may or may not be fair. But Facebook and Instagram deal with this too. One of the things that's happened recently is Instagram has been continuing to ban different hashtags that they consider to be racist or offensive to users. And Facebook, one of their lead folks who works on abuse recently in a conference said that the company isn't doing enough to address this problem, and it's actually trying to take a look at what sort of things the company can do to be better about it. So there are a few different things that are happening all over the place, but no one really seems to be putting as much effort into this as Twitter so far.
You know, it's very assuring to see that Twitter and all these social media companies are as proactive as they are, but are these measures effective? Is there hope that this can really, it feels like we're just not quite there yet in terms of finding a solution.
Yeah, it's difficult because, people are inventive and we always find ways to get around things.
Right.
And we find new ways to be terrible to one another, unfortunately. One of the experts that I spoke with said that at a certain level, this kind of comes down to the way that people treat one another. And another expert that I spoke with said that one of the reasons why we feel so bad about this and maybe why there's so much pressure on Twitter to do something about it is it really reflects the way that we kind of treat each other on the internet in general. It's almost like a microcosm of all of our worst selves. Now, there's lots of good things that happen, of course, on all these social networks. Lots of public discussions that might not have otherwise happened, people getting together and mobilizing. But that's the big question is can this ever really be solved? Because really, as long as the internet has existed, there have been places on the internet where people have been treating each other very poorly, and this is just the latest.
Kind of depressing. Anyway, Nathan, thank you as always for joining the podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Once again, we've been speaking to WSJD's Nathan Oliwares-Giles. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.